This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
So you told me you were going to watch some of the World Series. Did you watch any of the World Series so far?
I've watched probably about a total of about five or six innings of both games.
Okay. All right. The reason I ask is because, I wanted to hold you to it, and two, I did see the numbers for Game 1. And Game 1 is the worst non-neutral site location rating of all time for a Game 1. But last year was still worse. But that's the way that the headline was, because last year was a neutral site. It was a different situation, pandemic season, you remember that. But it was still down over 12% from 2019.
You know what? You know what Major League Baseball needs to do, and I think some of the local soccer teams are doing it.
Yeah,
and I don't know if and how involved they are. And I know both the Mets and the Yankees have great community programs, and they help different charities and everything. I'm not saying that they need to do more of that, but what I would do is I would create like my own like minor league system here in the area. In other words, get more kids involved in baseball through your own teams. So you have the junior Mets at different age groups. And, you know, and I don't know where you – like, I know they do this down in the Dominican. They have schools down there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so they're putting those kids through school, but they're also playing baseball every single day. And the weather lends itself a little bit more for that. But I would have a – and I don't know, maybe they do or they don't. I don't know if the Yankees have something like this. And I mean like a legitimate, real program, you know, like a feeder system where you have so many kids in this area. Think about we have about 8.5 million people in the five boroughs alone. Think about how many kids would love to be a part of a junior Yankee or a junior Met program where they're playing baseball somewhere in the shadow of Yankee Stadium or Citi Field, and maybe someday they play on Citi Field and Yankee Stadium. Who knows? But you really, they need to like start heavily promoting this. And I know that they do, you know, baseball in Harlem and things, programs. I'm not saying that those programs are, you know, not good programs. They're very good programs. But a little bit more heavily devoted to the Met and the Yankees themselves and Major League Baseball that also has an educational tie to it. So yeah, in other words, like you couldn't be a part of it if you were failing in school.
Sure. I mean, listen, I that's hard to argue any of that, but also, you know, the passion for the Mets and Yankees we know is here. You know, baseball doesn't have problems in New York, Boston, Philadelphia. You know, there's not a passion issue there. I mean, I think that there's, you know, other places where it is, and it's just so regional now. And if your team is good, you're into it, and if your team is bad, you don't care at all. I mean, that is the big, like, with, it's never going to be like the way it used to be. The World Series is never going to be something that's a huge national story outside of your own market anymore. Even with some of the storylines that we had the last couple of years with the cheating and the rematches and this and that, you just, it's just not big enough. And it's not going to be like the NFL. And also, it's not a sport that lends itself to gambling as much as some of these other sports do. So that's another part of it.
Yeah, no, it's a very regional thing. There's no question about it. And I think that the gambling part of it is also, you know, a part of it. But I still think, for me, to see, like, every Major League Baseball team should have, like, a feeder system, like, right in their own backyard. There's so many people that live here.
But does that mean if more kids play, more kids are going to watch baseball when they're older?
I don't know.
Do we know that translates?
I think, like, you know, soccer teams are doing this. Yeah, soccer teams are trying to build their fan base, and they're trying to, you know, grow the sport. And, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, baseball's been a, you know, an American pastime since its beginning. But it's floundering simply, I think, because more kids aren't playing it, and more kids are, hey, look, they're doing it with hockey now. They're doing it with soccer. They're doing it with lacrosse. I mean, there are all these other sports that now are taking away from kids playing baseball. And that's probably, you know, something for a Saturday morning discussion on this radio station.
Yeah.
But I just think that there should be more of an emphasis placed on really trying to, you know, incentivize as many kids as you possibly can to take up the game of baseball and love the game of baseball the way we did, at least I did when I grew up.
Yeah, but I mean, I played for a long time baseball.
And you kept the book.
Yeah, I kept the book when I was injured in high school. Yes, the whole thing. And I went to a ton of games and everything else. And then it just got to the point where the game is just so slow for me now with the way that we live our lives. I mean, that's the problem, is that people's attention spans aren't the same way as they used to be. And when you put a game on at 8, 9 o'clock at night and it lasts 4 freaking hours, nobody wants to put it's like a second job to put yourself through that.
You're right. You know, the one story that I will say that will be a prominent story once the World Series is over in regards to a player in the World Series is going to be this Carlos Correa situation. And whether or not the Houston Astros are going to try to re-sign him, or are the Yankees going to go after him? Now, remember, there is that whole state tax situation between Texas and New York, and that's a big difference between, you know, the amount of money that the Yankees would have to pay him to try to get to the net proceeds that the Houston Texans would end up, you know, giving
Astros,
him.
Yeah.
I mean, the Astros would end up giving him. So, look, I guess if I'm a Yankee fan, man, I'd love to have Carlos Correa. But
don't you feel like the Yankees need Correa like they needed Cole a couple years ago? Doesn't it feel the same way?
Yes.
It feels like you cannot come out of this offseason without him, or at the very least upgrading at the shortstop position. But it really has to be him. It has to be him.
It has to be. I mean, you know, you were talking about how Russell Wilson may make sense for the Giants and all this other stuff, and it would excite the fan base. Well, you know, the fan base has been, you know, clamoring once again, you know, because they're angry that their team hasn't gotten there. And here's one of the central pieces of the Astros' success over the last 5 years. Cheating or not cheating, the fact of the matter, the guy is a great baseball player. Great baseball player.
And he brings energy, and he's not an all-or-nothing guy, and he's a defensive and offensive, not a liability either way. I mean,
Does Houston let him go? Can they let him go?
He gave an interview to a Spanish TV station not that long ago.
Yeah.
Basically saying that, you know, they made a final offer to me. It wasn't good enough. So, and then made a reference to pinstripes.
Oh, there we go.
I mean, that happened not that long ago.
Well, everybody likes to get the Yankees involved anyway. At least pushes the envelope for somebody else. By the way.
Yeah.
I don't know where this guy is. I was just thinking about this morning.
Sure.
You know, the Mets are looking for a big-time executive, right?
They are.
Now, what Jeff Lunau did with the Houston Astros, is that, like, preclude him from being a potential guy that would come and run the Mets?
Here's the problem. Do you remember, who was it, Ozuna, the closer? It's not so much the cheating part of it, but do you remember that whole thing where he brought back the pitcher after the domestic violence issue?
Yes.
And then defended the hell out of the guy, and he got criticized for that.
Okay.
That's the thing that I think would, because of the Mets' sort of history and Jared Porter and everything else, that would be tougher to bring him in because they'd face a lot of questions about that. His role in the cheating scandal, I don't think matters as much.
I mean, I think, you know, Alex Cora's back, you know.
I know, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The cheating aspect of it is not an issue to me. Alex Cora's back. AJ Hinch is back. Those players are in the World Series right now. To me, it was the criticism that he got over bringing back that pitcher that I think would be the major thing that would keep them.
Right.
It was Roberto Ozuna. So, and they traded for him after the domestic violence situation, and it just wasn't a good scene. And with the Mets and the hiring and the issues and whatever else. Like,
so that's basically off the table, you think?
I mean, because of that, it would be tough. I don't want to say off the table, but I think because of that, it would be tough.
But he was let go from the Astros because of the scandal,
yes.
Not because of the other thing.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the first... now, this is one headline. But the first thing when I typed this into Google to go back to it is Jeff Lunau's comments on Roberto Ozuna are deplorable.
Okay.
I mean, that's the first thing that comes up. So, I mean, and also remember he was like, after he got criticized for that and then Ozuna went out and pitched well, like he was mocking the reporters and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Thank God
yeah.
we got Ozuna. Remember all this?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ozuna was arrested and charged with assault of the mother of his child. The whole thing.
All right, he's off the list then.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, I would think so at this point. I don't know. I did. I have the way that this search is going on.
I have
no idea if what we're reading is true, because the baseball insiders that are reporting on this don't seem to have any freaking idea what's happening. And also, can we blame the Mets if there are teams that aren't giving permission to talk to guys?
No.
Yeah. And we've been, you know, ripping the Mets a ton about this search, but and I was thinking about it a little more yesterday. I'm like, if they're not getting permission to talk to guys, then, I mean, what the hell? And then some of these other, like Billy Bean would have to move cross-country and do something he hasn't done before. Theo Epstein didn't want a part of it. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this, and like the search is just a regular search, but the way that it's being reported is because the Mets don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. You know, it's like they just get crushed for everything they do, and like every this name came out, oh, he rejected an interview, or this person wasn't allowed. It's like, oh man, this is
yeah, but why would you give them the benefit of the doubt in the first place?
You wouldn't,
right?
But that's what I'm saying. I just think the Mets are in that blender that we always talk about right now, and no matter what happens, they're going to get crushed for it. Let's go to Mike in Blue Point. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Good, man.
I was, I was pissed off, too. I'm like, why doesn't anyone want the job? I feel like everyone hates Cohen. They're trying to, like, stonewall him. They don't want anyone to talk to the Mets. But if I'm Steve Cohen at this point, I don't even care. I mean, I have so much money. I'm just going to go start. I don't care who I'm putting in there. I'll put in Al Dukes as the GM, okay?
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to go buy every player. None of you guys are going to have any players to go sign a free agent. I'll buy everyone that's the top free agent. If he sucks, I'll dump him the next year. I could buy and sell anybody. I don't care. I mean, I like the balanced budget sheet as much as the next guy. But at this point, as a Mets fan, I'm just pissed off. Just go out, get players, and just do this whole thing every year, just like Steinbrenner did. They got a couple of World Series out of it. Just do that. Go buy everybody. I don't care anymore.
hey, Mike, I appreciate that. But you got to remember how taxing the luxury tax threshold really is.
Yeah, it really hampers an organization.
I bet it really does. I mean, I don't care how much money you have. You just don't want to keep throwing money away.
No, nobody does. I mean, especially people who make a lot of money. And that's what they say about the people who are the richest people in the world could sometimes be the cheapest. Let's go to Paul in Ortley Beach. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Gio, how are you?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. I just want to give you guys a heads up. If they start playing the games in the afternoon, the World Series, you're going to get more attendance. I remember as a kid, and I'm 55, coming home and watching them games, and it was the treat of the day. I didn't care who was on the World Series. We all wanted to come and watch games. They're playing at 8:30 at night. By 10, everybody's sleeping.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, and that's everybody. That's kids, that's adults, that's older folks who, like, everybody is asleep at 10:30, especially if you're a working person who has to get up at a normal hour. I mean, we get up at ridiculous hours, but some people, you know, a lot of people get up at 5:30, 6 o'clock. You know, it's a lot.
You know,
and this is with all sports.
I talked to Mike about this a couple years ago, and we argued, and he's talking about TV money and all. But, you know, they're losing money because nobody's watching these advertisements anyway. So put kid advertisements on, start the game at 4 o'clock, and you're going to get a big crowd.
Yeah, I wonder, though, because you still got people that are driving home from work at 4 o'clock. You know, to me, the best time is 6:30. 6:30 is the perfect time to start a game on the East Coast. Now, I know on the West Coast, then all of a sudden you're losing it, and it's 3:30, and there's people still working, whatever. But you have to find a way to make it better for the East Coast viewers.
Yeah, well, you know, it has a lot to do with the actual network itself. And if the network has, I'm just saying, you know, network television isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
And live television is something that, you know, you obviously are paying for because there's very little of it. And it's the networks that decide when they play these games, not the leagues. The networks feel like putting the game in prime time at that time, they get the biggest bang for their buck, even though we may feel like the ratings are lower than they should be.
Sure.
It's not Major League Baseball isn't telling, you know, Fox when to run these games. Fox is determining when they want to run the games.
Yeah, and that's really that's who determines more than you would think is, you know, the people that are paying for the rights.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
I was just on the Metropolitan Museum of Art website to see what Al's getting himself into this weekend. So you've got Surrealism Beyond Borders.
Yeah, that's what we're going to.
That's what you're going to?
Yeah. She sent me a link this morning.
Oh, that's exciting.
Surreal. All right.
Can you take pictures of the museum or no?
I don't know.
I don't think you're allowed to. I feel like you're not allowed to, but I don't know. A telephone, this is the overview of Surrealism Beyond Borders. A telephone receiver that morphs into a lobster. A miniature train that rushes from a fireplace.
Eat it. Eat it.
These are just a few of the familiar images associated with surrealism, a revolutionary idea sparked in Paris around 1924. Mm. There you go.
Yeah, she said, I don't even know if we're going to get through the whole museum with the amount of time. You know, I guess the museum closes at 5, and then we have an appointment at 2 to go to the museum.
That's plenty of time.
Right, exactly. 3 hours. Plenty.
3 hours. How about an hour? Oh, in an hour.
You got a museum appointments?
Yeah, you have
days?
To make appointments at the museums.
A Parisian surrealism exhibit.
Yes.
You know what the problem with museums is? Even like when I went to the Hall of the Baseball Hall of Fame, I guess it was 4 years ago. And I think it's fair to say I'm into baseball, yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After an hour, it was like enough. How many more mitts and balls can I look at?
I know. What about surrealism?
There was no, well, no.
This is going to be big. This is going to be Parisian surrealism.
Yeah, it's hard. So it's like, it's nothing against what she likes and doesn't like. It's just the notion of the museum. It does. It gets boring after an hour.
Yeah, the problem with museums is museums.
Yeah, they're museums.
Do you think you'll be affected in any way, Al?
Like I'll see something deep, meaningful at the surrealism.
Yeah, no,
no,
no, yeah,
no,
absolutely not.
No,
they'll be affected because they'll be waiting to get out of there and get antsy.
I'm surprised museums didn't phase out after the invention of the photograph. You know, it's like you take a picture of something, you look at it, great.
Yeah,
it's
but over. Now you guys are now you guys sound like Neanderthals.
No, I mean, when was the last time you went to a museum just for the hell of it? Exactly.
I was thinking, I don't know. I was at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, okay. It's a little different.
It's a museum.
Yeah,
it is. But not quite what he's going to.
No. There's a new look at Old Masters exhibit, if you have time, Al. The collection of old European paintings.
Oh, I might see that.
That's another
one. Well, cool. You guys came to the American Museum of Natural History.
That to me is cool.
Yeah, that was
it was alcohol and it was a party.
Right, yeah, exactly. And I think you guys kind of enjoyed walking through the museum, though.
Dinosaur bones,
alcohol,
cool.
And a party.
Yeah, right, because there was a party at the museum,
which is
a different thing.
And we only stayed till midnight because it was a party.
Okay. That's right.
By the way, I was on the Hall of Fame Class of 2021 website as well. couple of nice folks getting inducted in today with along with Mark Chernoff. But the picture for Mark Chernoff, I mean, can they get him any closer?
It's the same picture for 20
years.
They
got his face like right up, like up against the, I don't know, I can't explain to you. It's like
you get really close to a year.
That's the picture.
Oh my
right
God.
There. You see that?
Why? Yeah, I could see.
Okay. Like a turn off head.
And by the way, there is an undercurrent of anger that is taking over the radio station this morning.
What? Not for me.
Well, no. You usually bring it with you, but you didn't bring it with you today.
I do not bring it with me.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Who's the anger coming from?
Well, it seems like there are some people that were a little perturbed as to who was invited, who wasn't invited, why weren't they invited, how come I'm not invited, that kind of thing.
I mean, all of a
sudden,
people want to. Well, of course, he wants to be invited. Did he even like Chernoff?
He came in here and told me he did. So,
oh, okay, all right.
Well, but there's this whole undercurrent. It's like, why did they get invited, and why didn't I get invited? Like, you know, that kind of thing.
You gotta have a better attitude like us. Who cares?
Well, I think Eddie cares.
Does he?
Yeah, because Eddie hit me with that. Eddie hit said, they were invited.
It was more surprise, actually.
Right. It sounded like you were insulted.
Not really.
He ain't angry about it, I can tell you that.
Well, Al's thrilled. I can tell when Eddie feels like he's insulted. I can tell.
It's just good that to know for sure where you stand in the eyes of management.
See, that's what I'm talking about. See, what I'm saying?
Where do you see yourself in the eyes of management, Eddie?
Right. It's fine to be a tilapia. I just want to be told that I'm a tilapia. That's all. If I'm going to feed off the bottom like a flounder, please just let me know that I'm a flounder. is there one particular person on this list that makes you turn your head a little bit and question it?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Not really.
There's about three people on the list, actually, not just one.
Well, one of them's Bob Gelb, who I think should be there.
100%.
Bob Gelb should be there.
An FAN original.
Yeah, yeah. So Bob should be there. Like a guy like Minko. Was Minko invited?
You would think he should have been.
Oh, Tiny Johnson.
Nah.
Yeah. I mean, Harris goes back with Mark to the NEW days.
Correct.
So that certainly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no.
Celebratory cream pie.
Harris should be there. Now, the director of promotions, who we love, is going. But I feel like maybe Eddie should probably be ahead of her.
Hello?
No? Hello?
I would agree with that. And I love her to death, but I would agree with that.
One of my favorite people in the building, but I think Eddie should probably gotten an invite over her. Is there anybody else? Five star? Everybody okay with five star going?
Because she goes back to NEW, like, maybe even before.
Was that an
Harris?
I think you
call
Al.
Val.
Yeah,
was that
an
eh?
From
yeah,
Al,
I don't
yeah.
know.
Why not?
They worked side by side for years and years.
Yeah. She was the administrative assistant for Mark a long time. Yep.
You hit on one of them. The other ones are fine. You got to keep going down a list and see who was invited, and then you'll figure out who Eddie's a little bit perturbed at.
The finance guy, I didn't understand.
The finance? Oh, yeah.
Him. Good dude, by the way.
Very good dude. Yeah. Very nice guy.
And right, you don't think that he should have been invited over you?
I just didn't. That was just a little shocking to me. I didn't know they were that close.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, maybe they, you know, had reasons to be that close.
Okay. All right. Who else, Gene?
I was going to say Spike probably shouldn't have been invited. He's been here for 10 minutes.
Yeah, but that has to be. I think that's.
You invite your replacement?
Well, no. Like, yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I think Spike should have been left off. He should have taken himself off, knowing that other people
should have stepped up and said, "Look, man, this is not my place to be."
But
there.
I think it's a respect thing on his part. No,
well, he can respect and not go and be like the real respectful thing to do is take himself out of it and send somebody deserving.
But Spike was under Mark when Mark ran all of the sports stations.
But they didn't really know each other.
Where's Marinek?
Marinek.
How come he's not on the list?
Marinek's in his office with his voodoo doll right now. Go!
What about Eric Spitz? Is he going?
He should go. But that email wouldn't come from here, though, would it?
No, not to him. No.
Right.
No, he has to be. He better be there.
I would say him and Steve Cohen, I would think, would be there.
Yeah, well, maybe not Cohen, but definitely Spitz. I mean, Cohen's been gone for a long time.
I know that, but still pretty tight, I think.
Yeah, okay. All right, very good. Hey, you want to give us an update here quickly,
no,
Jerry?
No, this
what do
is
you
more
think?
Fun, actually.
All right, we'll just keep going through.
Is David
care.
Lee Roth going?
Now, that would be awesome.
No, that's not happening.
What about Dog? What about Dog?
I don't know. I would think he would fall in line with the Cohen and Spitz group.
I don't know. That was a whole messy split here between, you know,
yeah.
That whole
I don't know that
ugly thing that happened.
I don't know that had anything to do with
you
Mark,
know how
though.
People, like,
Chris and Mike split up because they couldn't stand each other anymore.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with Mark. We are brought to you by, well, first powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. And we're also brought to you by Dr. Shah and Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit SamwellPain.com. A lot to get to here. We got the basketball, the football, and the baseball. We'll start with the Nets, who lost to the Heat 106-93. Just a couple of things here, because we talked about it last hour. This was Steve Nash talking about how the officiating is different so far earlier in the season.
Everyone's going to need some time to kind of figure it out and get used to it. You know, you can talk about it, you can show it. But you when you're out there playing 100 games a year and you're used to it one way, it just takes time.
There'll be an adjustment period, I guess, for sure. Joe Harris in this game did pass Jason Kidd for the most threes made all time in Nets history, and a big game for Jimmy Butler, 17 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists. Nets and Pacers will play tomorrow night. You got the Knicks and Bulls this evening as they take the court in Chicago. On the fan tonight, we've got Thursday Night Football. You've got the unbeaten Cardinals, 7-0, taking on the 6-1 Packers, though the Packers will certainly be thin at the wide receiver position. And no J.J. Watt for Arizona, season-ending surgery on his shoulder. Raiders owner Mark Davis Wednesday at the meetings here in New York City said he would like to see a written report of the investigation into the Washington football team. Don't know if that will happen, but those were his 2 cents. I want to get to the Jets real quick because Robert Saleh spoke yesterday talking about the quarterback position. So Zach Wilson out, yes.
I just want to say something quickly. So I heard you guys the other day talk about Rob Saleh, and Al said when Rob Saleh really loses his mind is when he stops shaving his head.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, he wasn't clean-shaven. I don't know if you saw this press conference.
I actually just rolled on it and watched it. I didn't notice that.
So his hair is starting to grow back a little bit on his head, and the beard is like almost all the way in.
Well, the beard, that doesn't faze me, but the head thing is, that's interesting.
Look at his head.
So I would say he's like a hairy guy. I could see him being a hairy guy.
He is. You could see his back hair popping out of his shirt.
Well, this is what happens when you lose football games and you get your ass beat and you're embarrassed and you're trying to build a culture.
But he missed the day. He's no doubt he missed the day of shaving the head. 100%.
Very interesting. So here was Saleh with stubble on his head anyway. So he's asked about Flacco. Flacco's not coming till Friday. So the question was, so does that mean he's starting next week? Obviously not this week. What about next week?
We'll see how it goes. See how everything goes with regards to absorbing the offense and all that stuff.
So he didn't say no. And so after a question was asked about something else, it was Rich Cimini that jumped up and asked for clarification.
He said we'll see how it goes on whether Flacco. So is Mike on a game-to-game basis?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm just I'm a day-to-day guy, guys. You know, so right now Mike is obviously he's starting. We've got a lot of faith in him. We think he's going to do a hell of a job, and then from there we'll go on.
So really, the answer is yes.
Yeah, right. Of course. I mean, and who knows? Maybe Mike White's great.
No, but I think the guy got here 2 seconds ago, and the notion is, you know, is he going to be starting as soon as he's ready to go?
I don't think Jet fans want to see Joe Flacco play. I don't think so either, but I just think Joe is here just because they need a guy. They have to have a guy just in case. And I know Josh Johnson's going to be activated from the practice squad.
Why wasn't he good enough?
Well, he was on the practice squad, and they like to have three quarterbacks. Now, there's three quarterbacks to the active roster now because Flacco's active on the active roster, Josh Johnson's on the active roster, and Mike White's on the active roster. They've had three quarterbacks in camp the whole time. And, you know, you could parse the words that he's talking about and you know, oh, you really haven't had three active guys. No, well, we had one in the practice squad. Nobody was taken anyway. So he was in there just in case. So this is one of those just-in-case moments. So he's now activated, and Joe Flacco will be either the backup or the starter next week, depending on what happens this week.
Giants play the Chiefs on Monday night. One other note from the NFL, the Texans reportedly trading Mark Ingram to the Saints. After this news broke, Houston wide receiver Brandon Cooks tweeted, quote, "This is bull bleep." I'm cleaning that up. Such a joke. So he's not thrilled, as you can imagine.
There's another team that's in rebuilding mode, and they're trying to acquire draft picks. They do the right thing by what's good for the team, not what's good for, Brandon Cooks. I mean, Mark Ingram's got to be happy as hell.
I'm sure he's thrilled.
That's in, right in the middle of a playoff
run. I'm sure he's thrilled.
All his buddies that he was there with, him and Alvin Kamara, had a great relationship. He probably loves this.
And the Astros beat the Braves last night, 7-2, even up the World Series at a game apiece. Michael Brantley with an RBI single in this game. Jose Urquidy with 5 innings for the win. Game 3 in Atlanta tomorrow night. And I wanted to play this for you. So we had the Blackhawks story. Joel Quenneville, I believe, did coach last night, but I don't think he spoke to the media. So former Blackhawk draft pick Kyle Beach came forward as the player that was sexually assaulted by a video coach back in 2010. He was on TSN yesterday. His initial reaction after the investigative findings were released.
Yesterday was a day of many emotions. I cried. I smiled. I laughed. I cried some more. And my girlfriend and I, we didn't really know how to feel.
And then as everything kind of sunk in, then how he felt?
Just a great feeling of relief, vindication. And it was no longer my word against everybody else's.
And he says, another little bit of a long clip, but he says, happy that the record was set straight here and he can move on.
A lot of things were made public. A lot of people were interviewed. And I really felt like there was a lot of lies told in the media. And it was very special and important to me to have that truth come out yesterday.
Yeah. Now, this video coach went on and became either a coach or a videographer or whatever for other teams along the way. And then also has been found to have sexually abused a 16-year-old in Michigan. And now he is a registered sex offender in Michigan.
Horrible. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah, now the question is, like, about the team itself in the locker room, because they won a Stanley Cup that year. And the question about Joe Quenneville, coach, who is now coaching for the Florida Panthers.
Yep. He dodged the media intentionally last night.
Yeah, he didn't talk, I don't believe. Yeah.
Right, so I don't know what those conversations were about back then in 2010, but according to the only two players that are left on that roster from that day was Jonathan Toews, their captain, and Patrick Kane, their superstar. Mm. And both say that they didn't know who the player was, and that if they would have known, they could have done more, and that they're sorry that they didn't.
Yep. 11 years ago. So
I mean, it's just, so I was reading about this Kyle Beach, and he actually played in the Ranger organization.
Yeah, he never, I was looking at his Hartford. Yeah, and I don't think he ever played a game in the NHL.
The amazing thing, looking at his career, he's bounced around all over the place. I mean, I think he's playing over in Austria now.
Yeah.
He's played in Sweden. He's played in the ECHL, the AHL, and I guess he was with the Blackhawks a little bit. For that 2010 run. It is amazing that all of that happened under the watch of everybody that was involved.
Yep.
And by the way, the investigation basically implicates the Chicago Blackhawks. Now this kid that was abused by this videographer in Michigan is also going to sue the Blackhawks for not doing the right thing at that time.
Understood. Yeah, because once you don't do a proper investigation, let that guy go free to other organizations, you're basically enabling a sexual predator to go on to do more horrible things. So that Kyle Beach, you feel good for him, but I mean, the pain that he probably experienced in the last 11 years, people calling him a liar, making stuff up, right, everything else, I can't imagine
like
the damage
we would not know about that. He would know about that because it's his life.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. But I'm sure that it sounded like in that interview, because I watched the thing, that people didn't believe him.
Yes.
And it did tremendous damage to him and his family.
Well, in the beginning, what the videographer said at the outset of this whole thing back in 2010, that it was a consensual relationship.
Well, clearly not.
And that's it. By the way, that's in all the articles that are written.
Sure. Yeah, well, doesn't seem like that was the case.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
So Al's off to a good start with his girlfriend's big milestone birthday as he sent her flowers this morning. She tweeted it out, so I don't feel so bad talking about it, as she put it out there in the social media ethos. So a nice bouquet to start off the day, and then he's got lunch and dinner today, lunch and dinner tomorrow, and then he's going to a museum over the weekend. So it's a full-blown birthday weekend. It starts today. But nice job with the flowers this morning.
Thank you.
On the actual day of her birthday. Very, very smart. You had them delivered this morning?
I had them delivered yesterday, actually, because she wasn't going to, she might not be home when they were delivered, so I wanted her to make sure she got them.
Yeah.
The big birthday weekend. Also, you don't have to go to Mark Chernoff's induction into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
I'd love to go, but unfortunately, I had previous plans.
Previous plans. Huge, huge birthday week. Let's go to Doug, who's down in Houston. What's up, Doug? Doug! Doug, I'll put you back on hold to see if you're actually there. Kevin in Illinois in the meantime. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. What's up?
So I'm originally from Long Island. I'm currently a sports broadcasting major in Western Illinois University from Levittown. And I figured I'd just call because, you know, I listen to your show every morning. I watch it on CBS Sports. I'm also a former finalist for a Yankee Junior broadcaster at the state back in, like, 2012. But I just wanted to call and ask if there's any advice that you guys can give me, because this is an industry that is changing constantly. I've been getting my name out there with the university doing the ESPN play-by-play for a football team. But is there any more advice that you guys can give me in an industry that is just constantly changing?
Now, you want to be a play-by-play guy more than you want to be a talk show host?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I fell in love with sports broadcasting because of this station. And, I mean, I would love to do sports talk, but play-by-play would always be something nice to do as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's tough to give you play-by-play advice. I've never wanted to do it or never done it. And also, the way that I broke in, I used to be one of the younger guys who had just, like, broken in and I could give you all the advice. The way that the business has changed since when I left to go to Pittsburgh in 2010 to now is, like, insane. You know, back in the day, that used to be the path. Was like, go to a smaller place, work your way up, get your reps, do all of that, which I guess is a thing that you can still do, but it's there's also people being plucked from all different platforms these days. You know, someone who's popular. I mean, we have a guy upstairs who works at a radio station up there with 92.3 who was popular on YouTube and TikTok, and he got himself a morning show. So that stuff like that is totally different. So it's a lot harder to give advice from the talk show standpoint, but you got to do it. That's the first thing. You know, you can't just be someone who talks sports with your friends. You got to record yourself. You have to do it, whether it's in a podcast thing or by yourself or at a radio station or wherever it may be. Reps are a huge part of getting better, because still to this day, I don't think that I've even gotten to the place that I'd want to be, because it's all about reps. It's about putting in the years. It's about doing that. So that'd be the first thing.
Well, thank you. I also wanted to let Boomer know that I'm wearing his Bengals jersey right now. I'm a huge, huge Cincinnati Bengals fan. Stop rooting for the Jets ever since they got rid of Pennington.
All right, well, there you go, Kevin. And, you know, enjoy, man, because the Bengals are going to, you know, take you on a wild ride. The things that I would suggest, because Gio would suggest it from his background and where he came from, I would suggest going out for the football team, making it as the starting quarterback, getting drafted in the NFL, and then being interviewed quite a bit, and then just kind of shoehorn yourself into something that way. Or you could change your last name to Collinsworth Sims or Eagle, and maybe you know, latch on to one of those families.
Yeah, I think that's
another way to get involved.
All of us would have different advice. That's your advice. Al's advice would be don't ever talk about hockey or basketball. Eddie's advice would be get out now, kid.
Al, actually, his advice was start a YouTube channel of you just urinating in different urinals all around the country and gain popularity and notoriety that way, and there you go.
But here's the thing I will say, knowing my bosses at CBS, I'm not sure about our guys here because they're not sure about who they should, you know, invite to our former program directors, you know, Hall of Fame induction, but I know the guys at CBS are always calling, you know, so many different, you know, announcers that are doing games. So if Kevin's doing games out there in Illinois, you know, that's the best way to do it, because then you do actually have something that you can send as a tape, and that's important. But they're always looking for the next young generation, next young group of guys that have the right voice, that have the right inflections, that know the sports and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the advice used to be, you know, go somewhere and work and send people your stuff. You know, that's really what it used to be. Now, I think that that still holds true to a certain degree, but there's so many people that are getting jobs and becoming famous just off of social media these days that it's not the only path. I mean, it's hard for me to, you know, if a young kid comes up, I mean, I tell him what I did, but what I did work for everybody. So it's a difficult conversation because the business is changing, and who the hell knows, you know, there's a lot of people that the whole digital aspect of things is such a major factor in our business that we make fun of all the time.
But you're still going to need announcers unless they decide that no more announcers, right?
That's a play-by-play thing. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Play-by-play is a whole different. Right, exactly.
And I am an ESPN Plus subscriber. There are so many games on ESPN Plus that are streamed. Division One, you know, from the FCS and the lower level of the FBS, even there's thousands.
Even Bogish does some games for them, I think, and he's a nobody, you know? So if he could do it, I think anybody really could.
You know, I see Andrew every morning, and he's very pleasant, and I'll let him know that you said that he was a nobody.
He knows I'm joking. I worked with him side by side for 3 years. He's my guy. And by the way, I shouldn't say that because it's a gift for somebody, but I was able to hook him up with something. So he's very appreciative. I could take a shot here or there. Let's go to Doug, who's in Houston. What's up, Doug?
Hey, man, I just moved down here with my family. I've been here about 2-3 weeks, and I just wanted to say how much I miss you guys. And for about 20 years, you guys were a huge part of my morning schedule, you know, especially during COVID. And, and so I want to wish you and Boomer and Al and all you guys the best. And the only positive side is that Garrett Cole's not pitching for the Astros anymore. And I'm here, and it looks like we're in good shape. So I just.
Well, listen, man, you can always watch us. You can always watch us on CBS Sports Network. You can always stream us on the Odyssey app. All you have to do is download that app and stream us wherever you are.
There we go. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah. No, Doug was saying nice stuff.
Yes, he was. He's great. He thought he was on a podcast.
I guess so. But anyway, we appreciate the love there, Doug. Very good.
You know, there was a news report that I just saw.
Oh, God. Is it about a beheading somewhere?
No, it's not about a beheading or any of that stuff. About how the taste of coffee is going to change due to climate change.
Interesting.
Al, you're a coffee drinker, right?
I am. I was alarmed when I saw that. I read that.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
Is it going to be for the better or worse?
Worse.
For the worse, supposedly.
Yeah, and I want to open a coffee shop when I retire, so I don't know what I'm going to do now.
I'm telling you, man, you can't. Don't open a coffee shop. Don't open anything like that, because I've been watching all these old bar rescues this week during the day, and everything that's like that just seems like a total disaster. There's always some idiot that's in there, doesn't know what they're doing, the kitchens are dirty, you can't keep up, you got employees quitting. I mean, when alcohol's involved, it's even worse with the bars, but I feel like the coffee shop is just like one step down from that.
Yeah, I should just like go work the early shift at a coffee shop when I retire.
Either that or get a franchise.
No, this I'm way, not a franchise
like,
guy.
Not afraid you want to do like Al Dukes pouring coffee?
Yeah, a franchise guy, I don't know. Imagine you had a Subway franchise and then that Jared news broke. You did nothing wrong and all of a sudden you have a Subway.
Believe me, I'm not going to have a Subway franchise, I can tell you that.
What an extreme example.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Of all the things.
Like if you had a Chipotle
franchise.
You
brought up the pedophile.
Well, just even
all the examples.
He could have brought up Papa John's.
Right, Papa John's. Right, another example. Then you had the, number of years ago, Taco Bell had that, they got that lettuce that had like E. coli on it. Then all of a sudden everyone hates your place.
Well, it was like Chipotle.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah, you got a Chipotle. Bunch of people sick too.
That's what I mean. God. Like even through no fault of your own, just because you have the franchise name on the front.
So this way, if you have Al's Boring Coffee, it's just Al's Boring Coffee. It's only you. That's all you got to worry about.
Exactly.
You and Gina could run the Al's Boring Coffee coffee shop down in Bradley Beach. I could see that.
I'm used to the early morning hours.
Right. Get up, make the coffee, get it going.
Congratulations if you had Jared Fogle on the Boomer and Geo bingo this morning.
Oh, my God. I have to tell you, though, if you were going to do it, you should do it like that 4-5, those guys. The one that 4-5, the one that they opened up in Manhasset is unbelievable.
Yeah, something like that.
Unbelievable. It is packed.
Right. That's what I mean. Packed.
Packed.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a little bit nicer, and then, you know, it's right there next to the train station, which makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Run an all cash pizza place. That's what you should do. That's where you make your money.
Al's Boring Pizza.
Yeah, that's
Jerry funny. Wants to do pizza. I've always thought about coffee. I just love the idea of the smell of coffee. I would wish people well in the morning. Good morning. Have a great day at work.
Sure you would. You'd be like, screw you, you jerk. Get out of here. Follow the rules of this place, you a-hole.
Al's Boring Coffee like. Shop. I think that's got a nice ring
to it. That
would
work, right?
I like it.
Yeah.
Right, I like it. You know how you did your wine label when we went to make wine?
And the beer label?
Yeah, the beer label. It's perfect. You could sell your beer and your wine. No, well, you'd have to get the license
right.
for it.
Jersey, it's tough to get a liquor license.
Don't you know somebody?
No.
You know, Chris Christie can't help you?
I could reach out.
I'm sure he's got connections.
Yeah, I'm sure he could help. Hey, now he's hiring the Mets' next GM, apparently.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.